Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning and what it begins to represent as we go into this time of Advent. I pray that you prepare our hearts. Let us open them up to what you have to say to us this morning. Let my words be counted as lost to the great grace that is about to be poured out upon us as we remember the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on our behalf to forgive us of our sins so that we may come to know you more. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for this. And it is your Son that we pray these things. Amen. So now, I'm going to do a little instructed breathing. Let us now take a deep breath. The type of breath that begins to fill your lungs to the bottom of your soul. And then you get to release it back into the world, knowing the breath was never ours to really hold on to. We did it. We survived. We have made it to Advent. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We have made it through the wilderness that is ordinary time, survived Thanksgiving and even perhaps Black Friday, and now we have found ourselves on a Sunday morning celebrating the beginning of Advent. We have lit the candle on the wreath, and we are looking forward to the next 4 weeks and what the Lord has to do for us. Now, if you've been here at Rose City over the last couple of weeks, you should have heard me every time that Advent was mentioned. I was in the back hooting and hollering because there's nothing quite like the Christmas season for me. And in fact, I've even been convicted of a little bit of Christmas extortion. So I've mentioned from the pulpit before that I'm not the best about going around the house and cleaning. In fact, it's been a growing experience for me ever since I've been married, and my wife has been nothing short of a paragon of grace in the learning that it has taken for me to clean. Well, when October came around, I had a fantastic idea. My wife was asking me to do some cleaning, and I said I would, on one condition, that I could listen to Christmas music while I was doing it. Her mouth went agape. It was October, but she really wanted me to clean. So she just said, okay, I will let it happen. And I was able to start listening to my Christmas music in October as long as I was doing the dishes. And I can tell you this, it was worth it. Now, Sam, Dan, and I were reflecting on the Advent season, and Dan was trying to ponder and figure out why I love Christmas so much, and eventually he figured out it is the holiday spirit. And it's something that's very true. It is a time where we get to sit and reflect on the things that bring us that holiday cheer. We sit and reflect on peace, hope, joy, and love. It is a time where we get to sit with those that we care about, and reflect on the last year and celebrate what God has done for us and what God is continuing to do. I love that sense of nostalgia that comes with Christmas. It is a time that we make traditions. We practice traditions. And it is a time where we get together and tell stories. But there is something that I've been meditating on this Christmas time of year, and that is the real point of Advent that sometimes get lost in the Christmas spirit of things. And that is the tension of partially what we celebrate Advent for, because it's not only about the birth of Christ, it is about the second coming of Christ as well. See, the birth of Christ and the watching and waiting for December 25th only really serves as an example of what the second coming will actually be like. We celebrate Advent for what it is, we celebrate Advent for what it represents, and not necessarily what it is. We celebrate Christmas because it is Christ coming to us, setting us an example of what the life of God is going to look like. But then also, we celebrate it because Christ will come again, because God has promised us this. But when I begin to think of the second coming, the Christmas spirit doesn't necessarily come to mind. It's always depicted, and maybe rightfully so, as this sprawling hellscape and desolation. There is no Christmas tree or Christmas lights, no Yuletide greetings or Christmas carols. And so maybe I want to offer a different perspective And that is, maybe we should get caught up in the advent for the second coming and not the second coming or the conditions thereof. Let us approach today's gospel lesson with that in mind. And since it's a rather short text, I'll read it again. But about the day and hour no one knows, neither angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them away. So too will be the coming of man, the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, and we would not have left, so his house would not have been broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. There's a tension in this scripture as we approach Advent, because it starts off saying, no one will know when Christ will come. But we tend to celebrate Christmas like we do. We know that Christ comes on the 25th. He comes and he hangs out for a little bit, dies on Good Friday, is resurrected on Easter, then ascends, and we have Pentecost, then we go back into ordinary time where we prepare ourselves for Advent once again. And because of this, we lose the uneasiness that this scripture is really pointing to. We lose the need to be watchful and waiting because we already know when Christ will come. But this scripture is actually very, very unsettling. It points to an unsettling times. It points to an unsettling time in human history where everything had gone wrong. People of God were rebelling openly against God. And God decides to fix it in this flood. And I begin to sit and wonder to myself, are we as a society at that point again? I mean, it's always so weird and peculiar to me that part of our collection, our collective culture, is worrying about if somebody will die on Black Friday. Because they'll get trampled to death for a television that somebody will replace in 3 years anyways. Now, I've never been too apocalyptic in nature. You're not going to see me outside with a sandwich board waving around saying, the end is nigh. But I've often wondered to myself, how far does humanity need to fall before we reach that breaking point? Do we sit and look at the despair around us and say, today is surely the day that the Lord is coming because look at what we have become? But then again, times have always been desperate. How will we know when we have become desperate enough? We know we can't and we won't. And that's the point that the scripture is pointing to. There will always be desperate times. There will always be hardship and trouble. There will always be the days where you cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, come today because surely I can take no more. There is enough desperation out there to swallow us whole, to get discouraged, to want to climb back into bed, pull the sheets over our heads and just go back to sleep, to become passive. And just go through the motions. To let Advent be what it is to celebrate it and to get through it. And not to really do or take in what it represents. To stop being watchful. And just wait for it to go so we can go back to sleep. But scripture doesn't let us off easy. Jesus calls us to be awake, and our awakeness isn't meant to be passive. See, there's a difference between being awake and being attentive. I am not a morning person, and I know this very much to be true. There's a difference between actually being awake and just having my eyes open. There's a difference between just going through the motions and actually believing the reasons behind what you do. And this is why Paul writes this in that letter to Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. And then he goes on later to say, besides this, you know what time it is. How now is the moment for you to wake from sleep? For salvation is near to us now more than when we became believers. These are good things. Owe no one anything except to love one another. If that is not a countercultural standard to the Black Friday and the consumerist spirit that has begun to take over the season, I do not know what is. Owe no one anything except love one another. What wisdom there are in these words at Christmas time. And isn't this the nostalgia that I once held on to? Isn't this the things that we sing about in the songs of old, the things that Christmas used to represent to us? Owe no one anything except love one another. And then Paul makes his appeal for us once again to wake up and know that God is present here. That salvation is at hand. There is a great imperative in this. A movement from a passive faith into something that is active. That we need to realize that we as a church are called to be active during Advent. That our watchfulness and our waiting isn't meant just for us to stay in this church and celebrate our Christmas values. But it is something that is called for us to be awake and to go out and be awake. We should act. We should act like a people who know that He will return soon, that it is at hand and not just a sometime. Because when we put Christ as a sometime, that's when we begin to get passive. We do not care about our actions because we believe we will always have more time to get them done. That's what Paul is saying. Wake up. Don't hit the snooze button to know that God is here and He is coming soon. We must stay awake and act as the Lord has called us to act. To be a part of the kingdom of God and not just when it's convenient. We must live this out, church. This is the one time of the year where it seems socially acceptable to be nice to one another. And we are called to live that way all of the time. Not just because a Hallmark movie has been made about it. We must take seriously the charge of Advent and know that in our waiting, where we are called to wait, it is not passive. We are called to wait actively. We are called to approach December 25th as people who are attentive to what God is asking us to do. Because as Christians, our Advent does not end on December 25th. With the celebration of the birth of Christ, we catch a small glimpse of the future, of the fullness of what God on earth will look like. And when it tends to have the presence of God among us, we must not forget this. Because Advent isn't about the end. It's about learning to wait and to know that God is coming. And that someday there will be another Christmas. A Christmas when Christ returns again. We want to be a people who are called watchful. We want to be called a people who are kept awake. Because how I long for the heavenly kingdom. As I read the news about the rampant commercialism, the exploitation of the poor and marginalized, sex trafficking, addictions, abuse, governments turning on its people, genocide and disease, it makes me long for that heavenly kingdom. A place where the lion will lay down with the lamb. A place, as Isaiah saw, where they beat swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. This is that nostalgia that Christmas time is tinged with. The Christmas spirit that I hold on to. A place where we forgive one another. A place where we as a church remember that Christmas and the celebration of it is bringing God here on earth and letting it come out from us into the people around us and to spread that kingdom of God to those we encounter during this time and saying, I am being watchful and I am waiting. Because I know God is returning. I have a promise from the scriptures of that. And how I long for the heaven. And how I long for the birth of Christ. How I long for the second coming. So we must be watchful. We must be found watching when God returns. And not just during this time of Advent, but during the Advent, it's time for us to once again shore up those spiritual disciplines. And remember what God on earth looks like. So how will you remain watchful during this Advent season? It's a time for us to remember that it's not something we are to call to sleepwalk through, but rather be awake and know what God is doing around us. So I'm going to give you some practical examples here. Maybe something in here will speak to you. Maybe something else. Maybe we'll tinge on to something else. But listen, church. Maybe the Lord is asking you to be watchful in how you buy your gifts this year. To do things out of love for one another instead of the owing of debts. Maybe the Lord is asking you to invite your neighbor over for some warm cider instead of trying to avoid eye contact with them as you're coming and going. Maybe the Lord is asking you to reconcile with an old family or friend, somebody you've had some troubles dealing with in the past. Maybe God is asking you to forgive as God has forgiven us. Maybe the Lord right now is asking you to beat a sword in your life into a plowshare, to take something that you have used to harm people with and turn it into something that is life-giving to those around you. Maybe the Lord is asking you to seek Him in prayer this month and pray specifically for somebody you care about. Maybe the Lord is inviting you to read scriptures this week and this time, to spend time in those spiritual disciplines to form you in your watchfulness. It is both through community and self-discovery that we will find what watchful Christians look like. But I can give you only these little bits of practical wisdom, but the Lord is going to ask you to do something bigger than what I've said here this morning. I believe that. I believe our God is a God that is constantly breaking into our lives, no matter where we're at, no matter how troubled we feel like we're in, no matter how desperate we are, there is that hope. The hope that we look forward to on December 25th. But we as Christians know that it does not end there. That Christmas doesn't end on December 25th, but rather it is something that we get to live into our whole life as we try to hold on to the things of God that are around us and break them into this world, because God is present. Emmanuel is with us. I want you to take time this year during this Advent time to center yourself on these things. Yes. Get caught up in Christmas. Yes, get caught up in the holiday cheer. Spend time with your families. Partake in your traditions. Do the things that give you that nostalgia. But also, don't let it end on December 25th. Don't let it stop because we stop seeing Christmas lights. Don't let it stop when we take down the tree. Because I tell you this, no one knows when Christ will return. And we must always be in that presence. We must always be watchful, and we must always be waiting. I'm going to move us now into a time of prayers of the people. And I want you to be really open to how the Lord wants to increase your hope this time of year. Pray specifically for something where God is going to be moving in you during this time. Because I do promise you, the Lord is here. And the Lord is in your life. So let us approach the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we just thank you for this opportunity to once again remember what Advent is about. It is not only about the birth of your Son, but it is also about that second Christmas when you will come again and make things right with this world. Because Lord, it gets so sick and tiring sometimes to see what is going on around us and us feeling powerless to do anything about it. But God, you are a God of great power. You are a God of great hope. Lord, teach us the ways to beat these swords into plowshares. Teach us the ways to take the things that we do and make them life-giving, so that people will look to us as a church and as individuals to say, this is a church that is watchful for when Christ will come. This is a church that is waiting upon the Lord. Lord, tell us right now as individuals and as a church what you would have for us to do during this time of Advent.